why War on Terror should be required for every student that graduates CA's upper school. An in-depth look at the term War on Terror, with insights brought by Allie Gallagher,
Katie Smill,
Mari Annis,
and a special guest. Let's get started.
When you hear the War on Terror, what do you think of? What emotions come to mind? What is terrorism? Who inflicts terrorism? We asked students at Colorado Academy these questions. Here's what they said.
Iraq.
U.S., 2001.
The Middle East, the desert.
Radical Islam.
Fear.
The color yellow, because I think of sand.
War.
Guantanamo Bay.
A Taliban.
What? Scary.
People in the army. Like, I think of people in the desert with their little outfits on.
Like 9-11.
9-11. People radically interpreting their religious beliefs.
Counterinsurgency and terrorism.
Al-Qaeda, ISIS.
I don't know.
Bad people, terrorists.
So what, in reality, is the War on Terror? And does it matter if young people don't fully understand it?
We sat down with a Special Forces Green Beret to break it down.
Thanks for being with us today. So, what, in your opinion, is the War on Terror? And what does that term encompass?
So, War on Terror, I think, was born in right after 9-11, and I think it's a deceiving concept because terror is like a tactic in my world, in the world of like war fighting. So to wage war on a tactic is kind of a silly concept. And I think that more appropriately, it would be a war on a type of enemy rather than a war on a tactic. And terrorism is something that is employed by a lot of different people for different reasons. And so I think overall it's generally a pretty misleading term that enabled the U.S. and other countries to invade different countries shortly after 9-11.
You mentioned that instead of this being a war on a tactic of terror, this is a war on a type of enemy. Do you think that terrorist groups in the Middle East, that type of enemy, present a legitimate threat to the American people?
And the short answer is yes. The long answer is not as much as people think.
Right.
And I would say that this is one of the fundamental aspects of terrorism, is what it is trying to do is incite fear. Mm-hmm. And so by fighting in a certain way, by targeting civilians and using suicide bombers and things like that, you can create a lot more fear of what may happen to you or your family or something in a different part of the world, and it might not be completely realistic. Like, it's relatively safe for most people in the world, especially in the Western world, especially in America, from like Islamic extremism. The chances of you being targeted by Islamic extremists is incredibly low, but it's a possibility. And so they kind of live off of that fear that is created, because all they have to do is have an attack every couple months or every 6 months. And as long as it's targeted against people that think they're relatively safe, and maybe those people look and act like just every normal, everyday person, then it's going to have the effect of, you know, scaring people and inciting fear. So it's possible, but it's not probable. And by being legitimately scared of those types of attacks, we are in many ways playing into what they are trying to gain by fighting like that. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's important that young people are conscious not to play into those fears? My feeling is that my peers have a very basic understanding of our involvement in the War on Terror. Does that matter? Is it important that young people are engaged in learning and exploring these ideas?
Yes, and the main reason is because I don't think it's going away. I think that modern conflict and modern warfare isn't regular, it's irregular, meaning it's not conventional forces fighting conventional forces. Like back in 1941, it was very easy for us to define who the bad guys were and what warfare was. Mm-hmm. And it was easy to say, like, the U.S. is fighting the Nazis or the Japanese Empire. Well, that would be a lot more convenient today if we had something like that, but we don't. And the resultant is that when young people especially don't have a good idea of who and what is dangerous, and more importantly, who and what we are fighting for, then it usually has adverse effects, meaning people don't join the military or they don't know what they're fighting for. And then it also scares people into treating others poorly. Mm-hmm. For example, people don't understand exactly what we're fighting for these days, and people are less likely to join the military and fight for the right reasons. And then everybody in America is more likely to be fearful of anyone from the Middle East or North Africa because they don't have a good understanding of why we are there or who people that live in those countries are and what they believe. So it's important that if you understand what Islamic extremism is and like what maybe a fundamental belief, like what the fundamental beliefs of Muslims are, then you're less likely to be bigoted against those types of people in America and abroad. And you're more likely to understand why we're fighting and be critical of just our systems that we have. So
at the beginning of this podcast, we asked people to tell us the words or ideas they correlate with terror. A lot of them responded with one or two words, most of them being related to fear and 9/11.
These answers were correct. They adhere to the events and feelings that have surrounded the past two decades, but they are incomplete.
When we use these words like extremism, the war on terror, and terrorism, as we saw in our interviews with CA students, the natural association is with radical Islamist groups and the Middle East in general. As much as we say these stereotypes are so bad, we have them for a reason. Stereotypes exist for a reason, and judgment exists for a reason. I think what we have to take away from this is simply the fact that we do make judgments and we do stereotype people. But judgment exists to keep us safe. It's not something that can be changed overnight. However, the way to solve this fear, the stereotypes that are so evident in people close to us, and the terror in America, is not a war on terror. It's not fighting, it's education. Stereotypes are not solved simply by the fact of their acknowledgement, but I think that's all we can do, live consciously of the fact that not everyone falls into them, and to educate ourselves, which I feel that we've done in this course, to understand where people come from and how, in this case, not all Muslims are the same.
The students we interviewed either admitted total confidence or complete ignorance when questioned. In reality, our country's current engagement in the war on terror goes beyond a handful of events from the past. And, like our guest stated, our engagement with people who inflict terror is not soon to end.
Our country hasn't done a thorough job of eliminating this ignorance.
By eliminating our ignorance and studying the state of our country, we feel that we better understand what the U.S.'s engagement with people who inflict terror is.
Dr. Davis's War on Terror class tackles these ideas for the first time in our 12-year academic life.
I know that if I hadn't taken this course, I wouldn't fully understand terror. Even after taking the course, I don't know what it truly encompasses. However, being exposed to terror and the harsh realities of it has helped.
And given us the tools to have agency in our understanding.
And ultimately feel better fit as U.S. citizens entering adulthood.
Well, there you have it. That's why Allie Gallagher, Marianis, and Katie Smill believe that War on Terror should be a required class for every student that graduates Colorado Academy's upper school.